Hey, thank you, Kane. 806 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Yeah, I know. I was there, lurking in your home. New Year's Eve. Okay, maybe not really. But I have an idea that you probably made a New Year's resolution to get rid of the clutter. Honey, why do we have all this stuff? Yeah, I think a lot of Americans say that. And by the way, don't we still need to do the deep dive into do other countries have storage units?
Yeah.
Is it just an American thing, or do other nations, and which nations, and what percentage of, you know, what is the ratio of people per storage unit in other countries? But I know a lot of us are trying to get organized for the new year. Listen, here's the way. Number one, my buddy Trey, who runs 1-800-GOT-JUNK here locally in Mobile and Baldwin County, he's been doing it 11 years. Great guy. He can get the junk gone. Okay, that's no worries. Storage unit, your home, office, wherever. But the process of doing what I'm about to tell you is going to work for you. Set an appointment with them. It's as easy as picking up the phone and calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK or going to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and they'll set an appointment time, like actual day and actual time of the day. It's refreshing. And then you have a deadline. And that helps, at least in my world, get the process moving of identifying the junk and the stuff you can do without in 2020. And then he comes by, picks it up, and it's gone, and you're right on the way to your New Year's resolution. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they're online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, it is a Thursday, and it's the day when all Roberts are present here at FM Talk 106.5, and my friend Robert Kennedy Jr. joins us now. Hey, man.
Good morning, John.
Oh, well, there we go.
How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I can't complain. Hey, I was worried about you when I was listening to the show on Monday.
I knew this was coming.
I knew it was coming.
I knew I was going to get beat up on you this one.
So I had a client meeting that started right at 2 o'clock. So normally I get there and then I leave the car just a few minutes before so I can go and get set up.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I heard you go into that, I needed to listen all the way up till 1:59 just to make sure you were going to be okay.
You hear the stuff get thrown around the studio here. And I have, you know, I've accepted the guilt on this. I threw a conniption fit.
Mm-hmm.
When the news came out, I was sitting here and I saw the story from John Sharp at AL.com
right.
That popped up saying Frontier Airline was leaving the downtown Mobile airport and the Mobile market sometime over the next couple months. And I said it for two reasons. It made me angry.
Right.
There's a self-serving, absolute self-serving. It's really a neat thing. We used Frontier to fly to Colorado this mm-hmm. year, out to Denver to do a family vacation. The price made a big difference in our
right.
ability to be able to do that for a family of four versus, you know, one of the legacy carriers. And number two, I like the idea of having this second airport if that's what it takes to attract low-cost carriers, because I think it means
right.
a lot for people coming in here, but us being able to just get our families and go places, it was so. Yes, I was bummed out on hearing that announcement.
And it's interesting from another perspective as well. And this goes to what we were talking about the decision to invest in infrastructure
mm-hmm.
and how you use ostensibly public dollars in order to incent businesses mm-hmm. to come and want to invest. So I'm thinking of it in terms of the $8 million investment
right.
that actually had to go into the terminal space, et cetera.
Yeah, and, you know, talking to a president of the Mobile Airport Authority, Chris Curry, said, you know, that's money coming through the airport authority. But yes, that could have been, it could have been.
I'm rolling my eyes. I know the listeners can't see that, but.
Why?
The reason why is because I understand that the airport authority money is a percentage from the bills mm-hmm. that people pay, but essentially it's a fee that a person's paying. It's not
sure.
levied by a government organization.
Right.
But you and I both know that governments do invest in airports.
Sure.
So you can say in this particular situation it didn't apply, but the concept is still valid.
Right. But I think it's a dangerous thing to have. You know, you always take a risk when you try to improve things, but it's the same way I see the parking terminal at
mm-hmm.
At the cruise ship.
Right.
You're in the situation where you got this park. It does one thing. It
right.
parks, you put cars in it so people can get on cruise
Maybe
ships.
Maybe they can use that for some Gulf Quest parking.
Well, see, you're starting.
I know.
It fits, no, but you're quite right. But the, you know, and I worry, like, thank goodness Carnival's back here and, mm-hmm. and cruising out of here. But when you go in these negotiations, I go, you know, they know that we need them more than they need us.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with the airliners. We build this facility, which I'm happy about. The airport authority has the downtown airport, but when you're negotiating, you know, they know that, hey, you need me. I mean, look at this place. It's empty. But then on the flip side, so when I was talking to Chris Curry, he said, because I delved into the numbers, he said, man,
right.
we were 80, I think, averaged 83% full, but he said most of the time we're dang near 100% full in and out of here. And it was, you know, we mentioned it the other day. Now it's made a couple news sites that maybe it's the irony that the problems with Boeing and that what's good news for Airbus here,
right,
because of Boeing's issues with the MAX, is the reason why Southwest pulled out of certain markets, and now Frontier's going there and leaving us in the lurch.
But remember, from the perspective of business, it's all about choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I take off my self-interest hat of
right,
wanting everything Southwest Alabama, and you look at the Huntsville market compared to the Mobile market and the way at which that market is growing,
yep,
that's where your investment dollars are going to go.
They took our team. They took our
the market
carrier.
Made the decision.
Yeah, I know, and it wears me out because I don't know what they're doing differently because it was explained to me kind of at a macro sense, but at a micro sense, we can only do what we can do here in Mobile,
right,
is have people on the plane 83% full to 100% full.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Right. And
but if I can, and if I'm in the Huntsville market and I can get that north of 90%, and then instead of running one flight a day, I can run two flights a day. You know what I mean?
That's, and I also heard is we weren't. And I have to get this confirmed, but this is what I take from hearing a couple of people. This is anecdotal at this point, but that we were not doing enough extra add-ons. So the planes were full, but we weren't buying enough overpriced beers.
Okay. Right. Yes.
And I remember when I did Frontier Flying the Family out, I did the add-ons. Like, here's the original, like, catch your attention, low-cost fare. But then, like, it was an extra charge if you wanted to sit together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got two kids. We gotta, yeah, we can't. As much as I'd like to farm them out at different parts of the plane, I needed them close by. So that cost more. And then, you know, carry-on bag, big carry-on, and then a checked bag. So these things totaled up. So what it sounds like is people were flying these planes for Frontier fairly full, but we weren't adding on enough of the things.
Right. I mean, that the intuition follows,
yeah,
even if we can't necessarily confirm.
But why would people in Huntsville spend more money on beer than, you know, for overpriced beers than us? I don't know. I am disappointed as individual and somebody. Yes, I keep my Southwest Alabama hat on a bunch. I want to see us grow and prosper.
And probably more importantly, it doesn't really bode well for convincing folks to make those investments in Amtrak.
Right.
You know, it starts to tie together.
Oh, people were already making memes and jokes about it. So, mm-hmm, yeah, you know, we'll have the empty terminal, which, by the way, once again, you can go back and listen to the podcast of our discussion with President of Mobile Airport Authority, Chris Curry. He said, and I believe it because I know this guy, he said, I am hot and heavy on finding the next low-cost carrier. And he said, these numbers from Frontier, he said, they really helped me go out and pitch us. But, yeah, people were making jokes out there that, hey, we got an empty facility, bring the train in there.
Hey, hopefully we'll do better the next time, right?
So, I mean, what do you think would change that on infrastructure? I mean, because you and I talk about this, and there's the undercurrent here, if people haven't followed our discussion in the past, is the idea that government steps in to make situations that help business in
Correct.
The free market. And I would be dishonest if I said the free market didn't, in some parts of the free market, operate on the backbone and structure that was set up by government.
Of course.
Because it wouldn't be true.
It's the infrastructure.
Yeah, it's the infrastructure.
Right.
But at some point, too, is it the job? And this is the tough thing. My hat on, my self-serving hat. I want Amtrak and passenger travel out of here because I think it's swell.
Right.
But then I put on the fiscal conservative hat and go, is this something we need to, you know, sign on for $3 million of subsidy for?
At the end of the day, all we're doing is we're evaluating risk versus opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can make the options pencil and show that it's going to be better for us over the long term, like, for example, if we're able to convert traffic from where it is now from an air travel standpoint to downtown,
mm-hmm,
all of a sudden it makes sense,
mm-hmm,
right? If you pull Amtrak in there and you do it as a package deal, that makes sense. I'm just suggesting that with Frontier pulling out, that's
going
to give people pause.
And it is, and there's this tough thing, too, that because people look at everything for ROI, and I argue that I'm pretty tight with the penny. And when I look at government, I'm looking at some things going, how much are we spending for what? But there are intangibles. And I always go back to, I know it's simplistic.
Yes, yes,
but
there are.
But parks, you know, the parks that in our city. I think the administration and the council have done a good job over the last, you know, I'd say the last 8 or 9 years have been a lot better.
Right.
And reinvestment in parks. The ROI on that. I mean, you can't give me a ledger sheet you know, putting new courts in and new greenery and restroom here brings X number of dollars back to City Mobile. It probably doesn't, but there's a value to that as a citizen. Now, how far does that go then to trains, planes, and automobiles?
Absolutely. When you talk about the people who are able to be served by that park proximate mm-hmm. to its location, mm-hmm. I think that's generally speaking a good thing. When the numbers start to dwindle, that's really what I think the point is at which we have to start to evaluate whether that's the best investment of our dollar.
So we need to kick our kids in the butt and say, get out there and play outside.
There you go.
All right. Coming right back, more with Robert Kennedy Jr. and, of course, Kennedy for Alabama. Tomorrow night, he'll give us a preview of tomorrow night's program. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. See, I was making sure because he could have said, no, I'm not, but he is. All right. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile or Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings this Thursday. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, Dr. Bill Williams with our forecast. And I wish I could sugarcoat it, but it looks like trash for Saturday. It's just not good. And my friend Robert Kennedy Jr. in studio. Of course, the show Kennedy for Alabama tomorrow night. Preview, Mr. Kennedy?
Yes. So very excited about tomorrow night's Kennedy for Alabama. In studio, we will have Mr. Ben Harris, who is the chair of the Mobile County Democratic Executive Committee, and Mr. Jason Fisher, who is chairman of the Baldwin County Democratic Executive Committee. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about the efforts on both sides of the bay with this particular primary season and how that will kick off a follow-on series of candidate spotlights for people who are running for office here in the primary.
And at some point, too, you all have an announcement about an event coming up?
Yeah, we can do that now, as a
you
matter
can?
Of fact.
You can? Okay, see,
announce
I'll make sure
here
I went
first.
All right, so breaking news
little,
here.
Little drum roll, please.
Where's my drum roll? See, I would have, I can get you a drum roll. There you go. Dalton's got the drum roll. There you go. Hold on.
So.
There we go. That's
right.
That's the best I can get at short notice.
So on Thursday, February 6, 2020, Kennedy for Alabama, in partnership with WKRG News 5 and FM Talk 106.5, will be hosting the Democratic candidate primary debate for the candidates running for United States Congress. We're going to be doing that over
AL1,
at Gulf Quest.
AL1 primary debate. And this is a chance for y'all to come out and hear, just like we did for the Republican side, for those who say, hey, yeah, the station, you don't give anybody a fair shake and all that stuff. Well,
exactly. So we're really excited about doing that. We have three great candidates on the Democratic side, Dr. James Averhart, Mr. Rick Collins, and Dr. Keani Gardner, who we will hear discuss the issues.
All right. And that is, once again, February
6th.
There you go.
2020 at 6 o'clock p.m.
All right. So that's coming up. And then tomorrow night, of course, Kennedy for Alabama here at FM Talk 106.5. I want to talk about the vote getting ready to happen. I think we got the update. I think 11 o'clock today, our time, or something. War Powers Act.
Yeah, between 10 and 11. Yeah.
I don't know if that's the debate or the, mm-hmm. the actual vote. This is interesting. And you know, it's gotten my attention too, because I love when things are out, and I love it both ways, mm-hmm. are out when people get outside their party a
sure.
little bit.
Absolutely.
And I know that, you know, people, I'll take my arrows because there's like number one Rand Paul fanboy, Sean Sullivan. But mm-hmm. I like Rand Paul.
He's
because
he's probably the closest to where you are philosophically.
He is, mm-hmm. and I like the fact that he sticks with his he doesn't change.
Right.
And when it lines up with President Trump, he's all a big supporter, a mm-hmm. big applaud, and then when it doesn't. But I think more interesting to the bigger discussion is Mike Lee. Freedom Caucus Senator Mike Lee disagreeing and being upset with the briefing they got yesterday.
I actually wrote down the quote, and I'm going to kind of fumble it a little bit now, but he basically said that in his 9 years of being a U.S. senator, it was the worst military briefing that he had ever received on an issue. And so if he felt so impassioned to actually come out and articulate that, it leads me to wonder how many more people were in there listening but weren't necessarily at the level that they were going to get in front of the cameras.
Right, because it's a big risk. Mm-hmm. It's a big risk to come out and say anything. But once again, let me point out Mike Lee, and y'all, if you're not familiar with Mike Lee, you can Google
Utah?
Him. Yes, it's mm-hmm. rock-ribbed conservative Republican as you want to get. I mean, farther to the right on most things, he's part of the Freedom Caucus.
Right.
These are people to the right of the bulk of the mm-hmm. party. And he has been somebody who has supported President Trump on a lot of stuff.
Right.
And I want people to understand what happened here with Rand Paul and Mike Lee. Well, Rand Paul's more on policy. Mike Lee's is more interesting because he was just talking about the fact that the briefing was subpar.
Right.
And in today's world, I see all the... Then here comes the machine, and it's all against Mike Lee. Mm-hmm. Mike Lee at no point said he didn't think... He didn't like the president. He didn't like this. He said... That briefing y'all gave me did not answer the questions we had. And that was like a, it was like a semantic thing. And if Mike Lee was disappointed with that, it is fair for the legislative branch to say, hey, executive branch, y'all didn't live up to what you're supposed to do.
But this illustrates the larger point of what it is that we really should be discussing right now, which is philosophically, do you still want to reference the 2002-2003 authorization and apply it to things going forward.
How long
forward,
is that? Yeah.
Right? One of the things I think was interesting, you had actually mentioned early in the week, I believe it was Tucker Carlson had come out, and he had questioned that on the Republican side. But you actually had some folks on the Democratic side who were coming out and saying, you know what, I kind of think it was a good idea what he did as well. And one of them being Congresswoman Elaine Loria, who's a good Naval Academy graduate, former naval officer, who came out and said, hey, based upon what I've heard and what we know about what's happening in this region, taking that action at that particular time was appropriate. And so the distinction that I wanted to make was, in the moment, the present take of the action, you get the thumbs up for that. I think that was probably the right
thing to do.
What is problematic in my mind was the fact he did it without briefing the Gang of Eight.
Yeah.
And the whole reason why was so that you ended up with people on both sides of the aisles understanding what is going to happen. That is my concern, not necessarily the action.
And you're saying that what we're seeing, hearing out of Mike Lee is just more of the after effect of that.
Right. So now when it's over, when you're out of the moment, then they need to be able to come back to Congress and say, here's what we were looking at. Here's the reason why we pulled this particular trigger. Mm-hmm. And for people to question afterwards, you need to have those cases and have them be right, rock solid. Otherwise, Congress is going to reassort its authority and take those powers back. And I think that's what you're going to end up seeing happen today.
Yeah. So that's going to be an interesting discussion. So you laid it out. So it was, because it was after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
So 2002, War Powers Act. So the vote today, and listen, so many things are just go down party lines in Washington, but there is some dissent, and it's the dissent, like you're talking about, on the merits of not consulting Gang of Eight first, but also I kind of heard in Mike Lee's comments, like, y'all got to do better than that when you come, and that's not, y'all got to understand that. Look through the haze. That doesn't mean Mike Lee hates President Trump. That means Mike Lee says, y'all got to do better than that. And I think that's, if that's his opinion and he's heard these briefings before, then that's a fair thing for the legislative branch to tell the executive
branch.
I'll
bet dollars to donuts that before the end of the day today, there will be somebody on the Republican side that says Mike Lee hates Donald Trump.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. And he doesn't. And it's, that's the frustration. Because in this case, you're just seeing somebody commenting on, it wasn't President Trump delivering. He didn't come in and deliver the briefing.
I don't think that he would have done better.
Right. What I'm saying is, but they're saying, hey, executive branch, y'all owe it to us. Y'all have your powers. We have our powers. You owe it to us to come in here and do a better job of making your case.
And then let's just really get down to what the core issue was that set him off. What he were trying to figure out was, what was the point along the continuum at which the executive branch would have to come back to Congress to get further authorization to proceed forward down a continuum towards
you're
war.
You're not specifically taking out Soleimani, but the next step. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. I think it is a... interesting thing here when people say, well, the president should have done that because they were taking out the general of another nation. But if I'm in the intelligence community or something, I'll argue in this case, and make your case because of these different things, we see this guy as a terrorist. You see, we see this guy as a, and he's meeting with a Hamas-backed militia terrorist group in Iraq. So we're not going after him as general of the Quds Force. We're going after him as, you know.
Well, there were some things in this particular situation. The fact that he was in Iraq versus being in Tehran, for example.
I think a big difference.
The intelligence information that suggested that they are using proxies to conduct these operations as opposed to uniformed Iranian soldiers. But be that as it may, the part that I keep coming back to was, we've had several opportunities to use this particular technique in order to remove him from the battlefield. We could have done this at any point in time, but we had held off on that, and it was ostensibly related to the Iran nuclear agreement because of the progress or lack of progress that was being made there as well.
All right. More on this tomorrow, Kennedy for Alabama. And once again, the AL1 Democrat debate
is on Thursday, February 6, 2020 at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Gulf Quest National Maritime Museum.
All right. By the way, too, just a thought starter here. And maybe not the Iranians, maybe the Russians, but think about if we had a high-ranking American military... Okay, let's do it with the Russians. A high-ranking American military official that was meeting with the Chechen rebels 10, 12 years ago, and Putin could put a strike on, right? Okay, just, you know, wonder how that would have gone.
Wouldn't have happened.
All right, we'll save that for next week. 8:30, coming right back.
Thank you, Kane. 8:37 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just doing the Mobile Mornings thing here on FM Talk 106.5. We know you have some great deals on new vehicles at McConnell, but let's talk pre-owned.
Oh, we got some deals going on with pre-owned. We've got certified GM pre-owned sitting out there. We got trucks. We got cars from $5,000 to $50,000. So if you're looking for anything like that, we got plenty of used diesels in, plenty of four-wheel drives. I know hunting season's we're right in the middle of it, but you need a truck for the camp. We got a lady traded in one the other day, 2013 with 23,000 miles.
Wow.
It is a nice crew cab Z71. Got a few used Denalis out here. Got some. I'm sitting online right now down in Tampa trying to buy the all-new Enclaves. So just check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141.
And if someone's trying to sell their vehicle, they ought to give you a call, too.
That's right. We'll sure buy it. I promise you. Just give us a call.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
Louie Arata, go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, 8:38 FM Talk 106.5. And by the way, too, reminder, front page of the website, you can get our podcast there. And a lot of stuff just this week already that you want to go back maybe and share or listen to. Those are waiting for you. And we have a new super fancy way that we're delivering podcasts. We're talking about that. It's even podcastier.
Yeah. Even fancier podcast year.
There we go. Y'all say hello to Rob Holbert from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, and a man who is a bandit on a moped.
Good morning, guys. How are
morning.
You?
Good morning. I'm good.
Sean, that was a long time ago.
Okay.
Limitations are over.
Yeah, I love this. And getting into a discussion of the Gotcha Scooters and Dan the Torpedoes, a new column from my buddy Rob, we get a little backstory from give a quick brief synopsis because, I mean, the story starts off with y'all sailing a sailboat to Ala Morada, knocking a hole in it, and then hijinks ensued.
Yeah, well, we didn't have anything better to do since the boat was being repaired, so we went down to Key West and hopped on some mopeds, and it quickly turned into, you know, more and more people joined us, and there was just a lot of, like, bad behavior on mopeds, a lot of violating the traffic laws and tormenting people, and it just, you know, it quickly became like a motorcycle gang. But I thought, and that reminds me of what's going on here with the scooters. I sit here and watch the scooter people go by, and it's bedlam down here.
Okay, is it because I just hear the stories that I got the report we were talking about earlier in the week of the scooters riding through the Wallace Tunnel, I'm waiting to see video evidence of that. And then, but we're far enough out here, we don't see them here, but your office is downtown, so you're seeing scooter traffic coming by the international headquarters of Lanyap?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. They're flying down the sidewalk, you know, especially toward the, you know, toward nighttime. I see a few more, a group of guys came by screaming the other night on their scooters. And, I talked to one of the people. I saw one of the guys that's with Downtown Mobile Alliance yesterday. That, you know, one of the guys in the yellow shirts that goes around and they make sure everything's right downtown. And I just asked him. I said, "What are the scooters like?" He's like, "It's a nightmare, man. They're crazy." He's like, "It's like a motorcycle gang down there. People are just all over the place. They're on the sidewalks. They're running all over the place. Violating every traffic law you can. It's just it's kind of amusing in a way, but then there are people who've been hurt. There's, you know, he was talking about somebody who broke a jaw falling off of one and knocked some teeth out and other things like that. There have been some accidents, and then of course the two individuals who supposedly went into the Wallace Tunnel on those Gotcha scooters, which I think have a max speed of somewhere like 15 to 20 miles an hour. It seems insane. It was reported, so you know Channel 5 had something on it, so I'm assuming that they got it right.
But yeah. Sounds a little dangerous. So I think Sean and I both assumed.
Highly dangerous. Yeah.
Sean and I both assumed they must have meant the Bankhead Tunnel, but the Wallace Tunnel was the report.
That's what I thought at first too. I said, "Well, I mean, the Bankhead—that's bad enough. That the Wallace."
You know, I picture Rob and his gang of mopeds there in Key West, kind of like, was it the Steal My Sunshine video where they're riding
from
around
from Glenn? Yes.
Right. Yeah. We'll have it to... was about that level. Yeah. It just, you know, I think at some point, I know we encircled a group of people walking around the road. We were just buzzing around them, harassing them, and it was it's all fun and games. You know, the scooters, the mopeds, you have to turn back in. Scooters, same thing. It only lasts for so long, but
okay, well, let's talk about
it. They're kind of wild.
They are. Of course, I've had my fun with this. I say, you know, we'll have electric-powered scooters during Mardi Gras downtown. What could go wrong?
Oh, my God. That's what the guy from the Alliance was telling me, just was saying. He's like, look, you should have seen it New Year's Eve. He said it was insanity. You know, people just going everywhere. I guess it's ironic to me. You know, you can't even open an aspirin these days without fighting through 10 pounds of protective materials, and then we put helmets on our kids to skateboard and bicycle, and everybody wears helmets now, but we just downtown, it's like, here's some scooters, get on these scooters, and by the way, if you're drinking, get on some scooters too.
Well, if the individuals hurt themselves, Rob, I can be frank. Sure. You've known me long enough. If an adult makes a choice and hurts themselves, I don't get in that business. My worry is that fool then careens into somebody sitting at a little patio table there out in front of Heroes, and all of a sudden here comes somebody launching through them on a scooter.
Well, it's that, and it's like. There's some teenagers, one of whom may or may not be related to me, who decided to put them in the back of a pickup truck and take them to a different part of town and ride around in the middle of the night. In the dark, I shouldn't say the middle of the night, but in the dark. And then, you know, at least one of them fell off of it driving around in the dark. I just think that, I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't have them, but it's just, it is a pain in the butt for everybody. It's for the police. You know, I know it's a new issue for them to have to deal with. People suddenly riding motorized vehicles down the sidewalk all the time.
Well, how long does it last? I mean, it'll be like Lime Bike and it's gone, although I hear we're getting other bike service back. But before they remove it...
Dodge is going to bring the bikes in, too. They'll have bikes as well.
But, so do you have the same problem with bikes?
Well, nobody was riding the bikes on the sidewalk like that. There wasn't the sort of just... the zest for life that the scooters gives people, apparently. You know, it's like there's just this sort of, I mean, it does, it just has this thing about it that makes people want to kind of go a little nuts on it.
All right, coming back, can you hang on?
Sure.
Okay, because we'll come back, we'll talk maybe a little more scooters, then of course we'll get in discussion of the cover story for Laynette, plus Rob wants to talk oysters. I want to talk oysters this morning too.
I want to eat oysters.
Yeah, they'll sign me up as well. Coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings.
I know it's over for me.
FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. Sean Dalton. We'll be back to our conversation with our buddy Rob Hulbert from Landyap. New issue out on streets now. We'll talk about the cover story and the pictures from Mobile County and Baldwin County. Quick update here from the folks at Lightstream. So the holidays have passed, right? The holidays are in the rear view, but guess what's coming your way? That would be the holiday bills, right? Those credit card bills, and you had those high interest credit cards you used over the holidays. Here's a way to ease your mind on that. You can pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Roll multiple credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay, much lower than the national average interest rate which is 20% APR right now. Plus, with LightStream, there are no fees, no application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, and no prepayment penalties. And just for y'all, you can apply now and get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get that discount is to go to LightStream.com/Sullivan, my last name, LightStream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, and check out a pretty darn big savings, 5.95% APR versus 20. Even I can do that math. Even my buddy Rob Holbert from Lanyap can do that math. Right?
That's good. Questionable. Very questionable.
That's true. New Lanyap's out on the streets now. You can add up how many places can we find a copy of Lanyap?
1,500 currently, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's on Baldwin and Mobile counties. We're all over the place. Of course, you can go online at lanyapmobile.com. Become a subscriber. It's 21 cents a day. It's cheap. Come on, it's like a stick of gum, maybe. And it really keeps you informed, and you can get the news from both sides of the bay. And we've got this week, we have a big story from Dale Leash about the police jurisdiction on the Mobile version of the paper. And on the Baldwin County side, we've got a poor jailed dog on the cover who is part of the discussion about the no-kill animal shelters over there and the rise of that.
Well, let's talk for a second here, because I have kind of maybe more backstory on what's going on in Mobile and the story from Dale. So let's talk about the PJ. Let's talk about the possibility of the city of Mobile voting on an ordinance maybe next month that would pull back in 2 years entirely from the police jurisdiction.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the question. I mean, obviously it's being discussed and it's going to come up. The question of whether we do it and what is going to occur is really the discussion in the article. There obviously are a lot of people out there. There are 70,000 people who are covered in the police jurisdiction. Lots of those people are concerned about the loss of police protection and fire protection. And they're saying, you know, a lot of them are saying, hey, we want to be part of the city. And, you know, this gets back into the issue of annexation. Is this going to force the hand of annexation? On the other hand, you have the county commissioners, Connie Hudson and Jerry Carl, both saying this is a bad move for the city. Hudson, in particular, said, look, the numbers the city's talking about, saving $27 million, you're not going to save that kind of money. Those aren't real numbers. She really has questioned the numbers. And even the city has said, look, we're not going to save this amount of money. It's just we're pulling the resources into the city limits. And
right.
You know, so that it's not as if, you know, it would be wrong to say, hey, you know, if you cut this out, you're saving that kind of money, because we're not firing a bunch of people. And then also the way they calculated it is basically said, okay, you know, here's the whole public safety budget, and here's how much we serve out there. So this is this percent, and we're applying that percent out there. So, you know, there's some arguments about what money is involved, but also the real issue is political in terms of what is going to come of it. You know, whether people are going to really push for annexation, push for incorporation, or push to be annexed by maybe Sims or something like that.
Okay, let's get down to the politics of this, and this is good, because I mean, I've been saying the same thing, and I've offered my theory, and you can react to it. So this is, if people remember back during the debate over whether or not to allow the right of referendum to those 13,000 that wanted to annex or would vote to annex in the city. It was just the city council was not voting to annex them in. They were voting to give them the right to vote to come in. All right. During that debate, there are many members of or three in particular I'm thinking of in the city council that challenged how the money, we're not going to waste this money out there. We want this money back in Mobile. We don't need to spend all this money out there on those people. This needs to be here in Mobile. We need to grow up and not out. And it seems like this ordinance that's being offered by Councilman Joel Daves is saying, all right, that's what you wanted. Here you go. Vote on it.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you know, these are the same three people who blocked it a few years ago, the exact same thing when it was brought up, and said they didn't want to do that. And so they've changed their minds now, and or at least if the noise at this point was, that, you know, we would like to do all those things. It's going to be, it is sort of a put up or shut up. to a degree, and you know, there are going to be consequences. There are going to be. I think the main thing, in what you're probably saying as well, is that this is going to be a trigger one way or the other.
Yep,
it's going to do something. It won't be the status quo. There are going to be things that happen from this, and that's, I think what you're going to see is a huge, huge clamoring for annexation. That will be a big part of it, but you know, that it's going to push that issue, and it certainly will be, if it lasts through the next year, you know, year and a half or so, it's going to be a massive part of the next election cycle.
It takes away a political, a rhetorical tool, right? To be able to say, yeah, oh, we're spending too much money out there on the PJ.
Yep.
That's why we shouldn't annex these people in. We need to spend the money in here. Now you're going to make people vote one way or the other. So then they're on record having to vote one way or the other, instead of just bringing it up when it's convenient and ignoring it when it's not.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think it's, you know, one of the city councilmen tried to tell me a while back that they had no idea that one of those three city councilmen tried to tell me that he had no idea that they were spending that kind of money out there. And I said, you know, I've actually sent him back the articles where it was brought up in, you know, in city council meetings a couple of years ago when they voted against it. And, you know, I said, you guys know, you know, you're aware. This isn't new information. You know, they've made decisions based on that before. And I think it was just as you said, a rhetorical tool. It was an opportunity for them to try to offer some reason to keep from allowing people to have a vote, which we haven't done before.
And best I hear is if that vote comes up, it's in February.
Yeah, it's coming. It will be. You know, there's still going to be a little time here when we're going to be discussing it and having, you know, special meetings about it. And yeah, it's going to be a big deal, I think. The question of whether they do it, you know, it's going to, I mean, it really will, I think, fire a lot of folks up out there.
All right. Looking forward to the coverage in Lagniappe, lagniappemobile.com. Once more, remind folks how to get a copy.
You can check us out online and pick us up, all, you know, in all of our regal purple boxes and the few remaining hideous pink boxes around the area. But, you know, just check us out that way, and you know, have a great weekend, guys. We enjoy talking to you all the time.
As always, Rob, appreciate it. Have a great weekend. And we're wrapping up for today. I do want to get a couple texts in here. Jace says, I damn near took out two gotcha riders last night when I left my tattoo artist. They were swerving from curb to curb going down the street.
Oh, man.
This is a good point. Chester asks, I wonder how many scooters it would take to pull the Comet Cowboys float.
What's the horsepower on one of those things?
Updating that. Somebody else talked about the tunnel. We got to get that question answered. Somebody said, well, the tunnels have cameras. Well, I mentioned that on Monday, and then somebody says they don't archive. It's just live feed. We'll try to figure out what's going on. Is there a possible Aldot archive of the Wallace Tunnel, and can we see some scooters going through? 8:58, Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. I'll see y'all at noon.